Welcome, everybody, to another edition here of the Spocast. Johnny Cashmere, along with the Graysons, the Backseat Boys, and Donnie B. What's up, everyone?
Hello.
How was your week?
Hello, everybody.
What's going on? How you doing?
Word.
It was great, man. Great week.
So no Rob tonight, Sanderson. Sandy, he's doing, they have that funeral today for the worker that passed up in the Buffalo area. So our heart goes out to everyone. And I just want to say to the fans and people listening that might know Rob Sanderson, send him a message. Just tell him, hey, man, love you. You know, he's taking this hard. A lot of people are taking this really hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's so rare. You know, come back to wrestling and you see all these free agents. It's rare to see so many people rallying around a central figure like this the way they are up there. And I just think, you know, they're our boys up there, and if they're hurting, we're hurting. So God bless them, and our hearts with them. So
hit well up said, John.
Thank you, Don. So we had a pretty good weekend, guys. Lots going on to talk about. Obviously, we're going to hear from Dewey Donovan later. He's going to explain his actions when he turned on you guys at the event. I haven't seen it yet. Donnie, I know you haven't seen it yet.
No.
Well, one of these guys uploaded it, so someone saw it. We'll see what happens. But
I try to see as little of Dewey as I possibly can.
Yeah.
I like to see him at the bottom of the river. That'd be cool.
Well, it's 7:31 right now. By 7:45, we're going to show the Dewey thing. So tell your friends, come on here and see what Dewey has to say in a few minutes. But other than that, we had a great weekend this past weekend. These guys wrestled for One CW.
Yep. And that was in Houston, Delaware. Sean Hardy's promotion. It was an awesome time. Great crowd. And hope to be back there soon.
Yeah. I was at my nephew Lucas's sixth birthday party, and I got a text from Sean Hardy, the promoter, saying, you know, your guys are in the ring right now. They're killing it. The crowd loves them. Thank you. I was just like, dude, that just made my night, man. And especially that's coming awesome from Sean Hardy, who hustles his butt off to get that crowd, man. He's one of the better promoters in the United States, in my opinion, but that's just my
opinion. I've heard of him. I saw some of the crowds, and especially Delaware. That's the old Jim Kettner territory, brother. No one's ever really been successful in Delaware other than Jim.
Is it Houston or Houston? People say
Houston, I think.
Is it Houston, Houston?
I think it is, yeah.
Houston.
Right? I don't know if it was already mentioned, but, you know, that's Briscoe brother territory. People actually came up and, you know, were, you know, mentioning the Briscoes out there. So if it hasn't already been said, it was an honor and a privilege to be out there for 1CW on Saturday. And we absolutely will be back there at a certain point. And can't say good things enough about Sean Hardy and the entire locker room. So, you know, big ups to them.
Amazing crew.
And of course, RIP to Jay.
You know, Graysons, did you never guys you never worked at the Briscoes in any way, shape, or form, did you?
Unfortunately, not. No.
Can you, Johnny? No. Can you imagine the Briscoes as the role of like elder statesmen in the tag world against these guys, like the young up and coming like punk upstarts and shit? Like, holy Christ, that would have made money, bro.
Yeah.
Just think of that for a second. Like big city glitz and glamour, you know, Instagram, TikTok, all that. The Graysons versus down on the farm, Briscoe brothers with like Papa Briscoe interfering on Johnny and shit. Like, man, that would have been incredible, bro.
It would have been. You're right. And you know what? Tag teams are an endangered species as days go by. It's just getting, they're more and more valuable as more and more of them are falling off the board. And I think to try to bring tag team wrestling to prominence right now, we have our work cut out for us. And it's going to take every tag team joining together and not being islands unto themselves if it's going to even happen.
Yeah, that's there's not fact. Many in the tri. I mean, you guys know better than me, but I really don't see many in the tri-state area. The main event guys I see for Red Sting, the House of Glory, the Waves and Curl, the Graysons. Yep. I mean, and I don't know shit about indie wrestling right now, but there's not many mainstays, I should say. I don't think you could. I really don't think you could put together 16 teams right now if you wanted to do a real Crockett Cup and not have to throw a bunch of guys together for the night. Right. In my opinion, yeah,
right.
So, Donnie, what happened this week as far as The Rock? Did you see any of that?
Boys, The Rock is reinventing the game. What he did was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. let's say on an average Friday night, SmackDown reaches what, 2 point something million people, whatever it is. If now we're in the day and Now we're in the day and
you
age.
Won an explanation. Sorry about
that. My bad.
Oh, is that
I had to re-upload it? Sorry. Go ahead.
But let's say like you get 2.2 million on a Friday night to watch SmackDown. What The Rock is doing, he's going on his social media where he's got, I don't know, 50 times that on as far as followers, and he's releasing content. He released a promo the other day. It was 21 minutes long that pretty much explained the entire story, the bloodline, why he did what he did. And it was flawless. It was a masterclass in psychology. He even cut up Dave LaGreca, started making fun of him. He said, look at this jerk, goof, idiot in his basement with his robe. And it was just, it was great, dude. And then they follow that up. And everybody who watches that in the afternoon, then you follow it right up on Friday night on SmackDown. And The Rock came out. And the very first things he said was, this is the home of the most cocaine use and meth use in the United States. And I can't remember a time where I ever heard the words cocaine and meth used on WWE programming.
Wow. Like,
I never heard that. But The Rock just went out there and did it. It was, dude, it was on Friday Night SmackDown. It was a 40-minute segment.
Wow.
40 minutes, bro. And if you watched, the crowd was on their feet the entire time. It was amazing, dude. It was a masterclass.
And there were no interruptions, right?
No interruptions. Masterclass in promoting and angles and psychology. And The Rock just can't. I don't know what anybody was thinking a few weeks ago. Rock putting himself in this and that. But boy, has he come back and just said, nope, this is what we're going to do. And everybody aboard. Remember the press conference? I think it was last year when Heyman said we're in the third inning of this thing.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
Bro, I think they stretched this all the way to next year's WrestleMania. I really do. I think I honestly think that's the main event next WrestleMania. Roman versus Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, still a lot of it has to come to head at this year's WrestleMania too,
sure,
right?
Sure. I think the Bloodline wins on night one. I think Cody wins on night two. The big question mark is, does Rock remain as a heel and they boot out Roman in some fashion? Or does see Rock turn into total babyface after just coming out as a bad guy for the last few weeks. I think Rock will be a heel for the next year in the WWE, and Roman comes back as a mega babyface, and then Roman pins Rock at next year's WrestleMania main event. I really do.
Rock back, I wouldn't be surprised if Austin pops up for a Survivor Series pay-per-view or something.
Somebody just said to me the other night, if that's the direction they were going and Rock was the heel on night two, could you imagine the deafening sound of the pop of that glass break on night two if Austin came out to even the odds and help Cody?
It would literally shatter the roof,
dude. And then, not for nothing, if Austin's always said he wanted to have one more match, I mean, Austin versus Rock, are you kidding me? I mean Roman's in the mix, but there's so much they could do. They literally are printing money now, and it would be the first WrestleMania on the new Netflix deal. Let's not forget that. You don't think they'd want that? Available worldwide, yeah, dude.
Wow,
that's true. Wow,
and it sounds like they're getting used to, they're going to go no commercials too. And you just said they did 40 minutes without commercials. They're getting used to that too.
Everything we're seeing now is groundwork for the way that business is going to be in the future. The social media use, even Paul Heyman throwing to an ad in the ring when he said, "We'll be right back after this commercial." When have you ever heard that? Never. I've never seen anybody. I've never seen a manager ever do that in the business, or a worker say, hey, we're going to go to a commercial right now. Boy, I tell you what, man, it's just a masterclass on what to do.
Donnie, do you think that this switch to Netflix, do you almost feel like maybe that's why they're extending the storyline out a little bit more, and The Rock is coming in, this quote unquote late in the game?
100%.
So that they can't.
Yeah, 100%. Because The Rock has more collateral with Netflix. He knows all the people and the movers and shakers at Netflix better than anybody else. So now that they're totally embedded in there, do you think these people that signed this $5 billion deal with the WWE didn't say to themselves, holy shit, we're going to have Dwayne Johnson at our fingertips for the next 5 years, every Monday night or on the board, any projects he wants to do, we're going to have them here. It's all in-house, man. None of this was an accident. There's zero chance that the wheels of this weren't turning years ago. There's no way in the world.
Interesting. A lot of we've been talking behind the scenes, Donnie, the three of us, about how so many things are coming to a head in wrestling in general. It's like since the pandemic, it's like, yeah. I don't know. It's like everything. It's like the astrology starting to move again. The sky's starting to all move again. And we're all the energy's higher now in wrestling than it's been since probably.
There's a good rising tide. And I think guys like you and what you guys are doing and good young talents, the WrestlePro guys, you guys, and there's a couple others will be able to benefit from it. But I also, my hope is that the rising tide washes away some of the absolute dog shit that's out there, man. Cause I mean, that's one thing about wrestling. When it gets hot and there's a lot of energy around it, all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people from one side of the guardrail think they should be inside the ring. And that's always been an issue, even back in the 90s, early 2000s, whatever. That's what you have to kind of watch out to. It kind of has to police itself. If there's a promoter with an income tax check, then he's going to put on his friends and family and put a shitty show on in front of 40 people, lose $10,000, but still say it's a success. So that's what you have to worry about.
Christina Marie in the house. What's up, Christina? Hello. Thanks for joining us. Jason Reborn. Pete Martin said the Undertaker's coming back at SummerSlam. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he could probably. Undertaker has a whole career left of cinematic matches if he wants them. Let's be honest.
And where else better to have them on Netflix?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say at the Mitchell Firehouse. But yep.
Netflix. Oh, that too.
I think
he'll be in the Broom Closet 2 match against Joe Clean.
Wrestling World needs to see another Undertaker versus Kane feud.
Anybody who doesn't think that at the end of the day, if these guys get offered enough money, then I mean, look at Triple H and Shawn Michaels, that tag match they did in Saudi Arabia. I'm sure both of them regret being in the ring one more time because it was a disaster. But dude, if you have enough money, I guarantee even if he was 65 years old, The Undertaker would come back, or Steve Austin. Why not? Why the hell not?
Enough zeros
with enough protections in place and enough. Yeah.
Well, wasn't there rumors that Hogan was going to wrestle Shane McMahon at this Mania in Philly?
I think Wood was putting that out there himself just to see if there was any feelers, any traction to it. But you never know, yeah.
Right, because
why couldn't Hogan do a cinema match?
Well, last year they thought Meltzer was doing that with Vince McMahon versus McAfee. They were like, why would you even say he's going to wrestle McAfee? And then the show shows up and he wrestles McAfee.
Yeah, he did.
So that's what I'm thinking. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Hogan wrestles without us even knowing until that day.
Yeah, and obviously he has had back surgery. You can't. I mean, he's not gonna lie about that. But who knows
with Wood? Double hip replacement, all that.
Yeah. Who knows if he's really hurt as much as he is? He's Hollywood Hogan is a worker from the day he was born to the day he dies, man.
That's right.
No doubt about it, dude. Workers work.
Mm-hmm. I saw a thing. My cousin sent me a funny meme with Macho Man and Hogan, and it said like, and they were just hanging out lifting, and it said, we didn't text each other back in the day. We just brothered and oh yeah'd each other to death. I was like, damn right, man. And we all got along, you know, we were trapped in our lives before technology, Donnie.
It is crazy, dude, isn't it?
You had to watch Hulk Hogan. There was nothing else to do in life.
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing else
there was
matters.
No podcasting. There was nothing. None of this. If all this was around in from 94, 95 to like 01, 02 with PCW, dude, I would have had a field day with all this shit. All the vignettes. We did what we could, but all this stuff, man, we would have had podcasts. We would have had weekly features. All the man, it would have been great.
Yep.
But you guys are so lucky to have all this stuff now.
Well, let me tell you. So wait, we got some more people in the chat here saying
Steve Jordan.
Yeah, let's see.
Got some people from Instagram saying
tan is Tommy. Someone saying you're tan. Christina, long time no chat. And talk to Ron Howard. I don't think he can. Oh, that's funny. I know what he means. So
is that the Hollywood biopic or whatever on Netflix?
I think so. So do you guys, I think it's 7:44. I think we're going to have to watch this Dewey thing.
Let's see it.
Let's do it up.
Let's do it up.
Without any further ado.
Yeah.
Further ado. All right. I got to rewind it though. Hold on.
Johnny, right. You want an explanation.
All right. Oh.
It's a little blurry. I don't, probably my computer.
No, I think the computer just realizes shit when it sees it.
How dare me?
Listen what he says.
I created the Maxi Boys.
What did that motherfucker just say?
He created the Backseat Boys.
In what
this
reality?
This was at the show. This like, was at the show. Like, look, Too I'm Tough Tony comes out.
Whoa. Okay. Did he just say he created the Backseat Boys?
He sure did.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny, this guy is mentally ill. I didn't know you were, you know, a hard R there. I didn't know we were, you know, the R word. Wow. That Dewey was like that mentally ill. I'm not going to say it, but I didn't know that.
I've seen. That I saw because I was there. That was me that just ran out with the chair to scare him out of the room.
Yeah, I didn't know he said all those things. Let's hear what he has to say.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To hurt you, Johnny Cashmere. I hate you, Cashmere. I didn't particularly care for you when we were a team. Smug, arrogant attitude. But they absolutely loathe you now. Matt, let's talk about the business of everything. I took you two to the top. Time and time again. And every time we were there, every time we had the titles, every time we were living the good life, what happened? Well, Johnny's got issues. Johnny don't like the boss. Johnny doesn't like this. Johnny doesn't like that. Johnny takes his ball and goes home. Johnny leaves the company. And leaves me dealing with the crap. Leaves me dealing with broken contracts. Leaves me dealing with my money getting lost. Biggest slap in the face, Johnny, after not talking for all this time. Find out you started the new Backseat Boys. My team. Did you think of giving me a phone call? Sending me a message, maybe asking for my blessing? My permission?
I just paused it for a second, Donnie, because I'm going to throw up. Listen.
The only thing, this is fucking, the only thing I can think of is, did he polish off all six of those bottles of that cheap liquor that's behind him in the picture? He must have before he started talking about all this.
It reminds me of a Crowbar promo, but not nearly as good. So
not nearly. Please don't insult Devin like that.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
It's his birthday, by the way, today.
Happy
Devin Moore. Yes. Devin Moore. Yeah. Devin Storm.
Yeah, 50 years old today. He joins the club.
Wow.
OG from Iron Mike Sharps. Yep. Happy birthday, my brother.
Bud Bundy's 50 or 51 today too.
Yeah.
Bud Bundy from Married with Children.
Oh, that Bud Bundy. I mistook him from the Broadway play Hairspray. Thank you. Thank you for
sorry. Sorry to get off topic, though.
David Faustino. But anyway, about Dewey, why do I have to ask people permission? Like,
seriously.
It's the point. Like, Donnie, obviously, he's cutting a wrestling promo here. I get it. Okay. I get it. I'm not trying to act like it's all real.
I get it.
But what he's saying, I mean, he could have made his point without saying certain things, I think.
He said his team that he created.
But the way he talked about me, like smug and arrogant, I was 19 years old. Imagine, Donnie, being judged now based on what you did when you were 19 years old. Do you know how frustrating that is? You start feeling like no matter what you do, you just can't redeem yourself. I'm a pretty forgiving guy, you know, and I just want the world to give me the same amount of forgiveness I give them. But then you got guys like Dewey Donovan who want to spill all the beans. I didn't know people looked at me like that back then. You think I knew that people thought of me as smug and arrogant? If I knew that, I would have stopped being smug and arrogant.
No, you weren't smug and arrogant. You were just good. People confuse that a lot of times, dude. People confuse arrogance with being good. I used to get the same shit. But I just listened to this goof. They sit on here and tell everybody about the team he created and his permission. Could you imagine sitting in front of Shakespeare taking credit for Hamlet while he was looking over your shoulder? Could you imagine that? That's what this idiot just did. Does this goof, like, does he know, like, that he didn't create shit? I mean, I'd like to say he's in a right frame of mind, but I don't think he is. I think he belongs in a padded room.
It's
among other things, yeah.
And he's taking it out on these guys. You know what's killing me, Donnie, is that the new backseats, these guys, the Graysons, are collateral damage from shit that happened 25 years ago. That's not acceptable to me. Zero collateral damage is what I want. Not any.
Well, what I did notice too, and then I'm not a bit, listen, I love the rep. I think Nate Wallace and Dave McCall are one of the best teams in the entire country. Huge fan of the rep. I've been putting them over everywhere I can for years now. But to see them with this albatross now, this discount bottom feeder, I don't see it ending well. Maybe the rep can squeeze a few matches, or he can negotiate a few contracts from. I have no idea what he's going to do. Obviously, he's never done nothing for himself. But no, I'd like to see the rep get as far away from him as they can. Let's see where this leads. I guess it's interesting.
I'm trying my best to monitor the Instagram chat, and it looks like Mike Ray, one of our boys, said, I thought Donnie created the Backseat Boys, blah, blah, blah. That's the linker talking with a full tank of gas. So even he knows. Right. He used to hang around the Berwyn Tavern with us back in the day when all this was relevant, when it was all actually happening. He was there. He saw it firsthand. Yeah. Anyway, let's you know what? This should be our 15 minutes of fame, because we're giving
defame. Yeah. All right. Let's hear a little more.
Yeah.
From this mentally.
The team I created?
Oh, Christ.
Ew.
Didn't even try to cut me in on the business end?
Oh, Nick Burke.
Don't think I deserve to make some money off the team I made? I couldn't allow that to happen. I can't allow that to happen. You couldn't have made it anyway. I was the only one who could ever lead the Backseat Boys.
Oh.
Johnny Cashmere was going to lead you. Can't run his own damn life.
Oof.
Without me, you had no hope. There is nobody else that can run the Backseat Boys except me. Leave. Leave Cashmere. Or I'm going to have the rep destroy you. It's the last thing I do. I will end the legacy of the Backseat Boys once and for all. You can count on that, Cashmere.
He doesn't look well. I'll just say that up front. Now listen, I don't think I've ever, Johnny, I don't think I've ever said two words to this man in person. I mean, he should say thank you to me, because I guess I made him relevant, but when you guys went to CZW, I wasn't going there, but he could do whatever he wanted there. But I don't know. I didn't know you. You know, were with a mentally ill man all those years. Who knew? I didn't know. I wish Trent would have said something.
You got way.
I'm not. From now on, when people send things in, I'm watching them before I get on here, because you don't know how many things are going through my mind right now, and I'm trying to edit myself in real time, and it's just not working. I'm going to say something and end up getting canceled or some shit. So I'm just
leave them go, Johnny. The best light that you can do to dry up these kind of slugs is the truth. So everyone knows that Discount Dewey Donovan was a goof. I'll give him credit. He was pesky at ringside. I saw some of his stuff. He was a pretty decent ringside manager. I will, I'll call a spade a spade, but, you know, it's trying to put
it's all because of Cage of Death 5. It's Cage of Death 5, Donnie. It's because I used him as a human shield and put him on top of me, and Lobo gave us both a Death Valley driver off the top through a table, and he never forgave me. His back's been hurting him ever since. He probably can't even work and make a living. So that's why he keeps bringing it back to his pocketbook, because he blames me for that. Blames me? Good Lord. I was on Lobo's back too. You can't blame a drowning man for pulling you down. He's drowning.
I made more on Dogecoin and Shiba Coin today and Bitcoin, the scraps that I have, than Dewey Donovan has in the last 10 years. And that's not even an exaggeration. I wish it was. That's not. I'll gladly show you a photo later on, but daily takes. But discount. Oh, good Lord.
Only you can make me laugh. Credit. Like, this guy really trying to say that he made the backseats and, you know, that. Oh man, like just said so much personal things that it's like at this point.
JP,
like,
you and Tommy need to worry about the rep. Johnny will hand you Dewey, and if I'm floating around or something, I might have to.
Oh man.
See, I don't want to put hands on a mentally ill man because it's just not right. My mom.
But here's the thing, Donnie. We can't have revisionist history. And he was telling lies. He was telling lies. He was out there talking that shit. And you know what? He tried revising history managing us, and it wound up costing us. It wound up costing us our pride and got us players down. And now he's with the rep. So you know what? He wants to get personal. He wants a war. The back seats are ready for war. The rep.
Good.
We'll see you guys sooner than they think.
This is, you know what a pheric victory is? Do you guys ever hear that term, a pheric victory? It means even when you win, you still friggin' lose. Mm-hmm, Oh, yeah, we won the war, but we had the A-bomb dropped on us and all our people are dead. So it doesn't really matter that we won the war. That's what's going to happen with them and the rep, because the rep are monsters. And we bring them in because Donnie puts them over week after week. We're like, yeah, give them a chance. They sound awesome. I didn't even know who the rep were before Donnie B.
Those are the type and of people I was right. like to say a win's a win. You know what I mean? Regardless.
But I let them in. I let them in. And now you guys are collateral damage from all of it. So that's a mistake I made. I don't like making mistakes. The old Johnny maybe would have made a mistake and say, oh, no big deal. No, you guys are suffering from my mistake. That bothers the shit out of me, and I'm going to fix it. Anyway. So what about Sting's last match?
Sting's last match, it was, I thought I saw most of it. I didn't see the whole thing, but the send-off. What I like most is that he had a hand in it. And it paid reverence to him. I think the biggest thing was that he had to have his sons out there, in his old gimmicks, the Surfer Sting and Crow Sting or Red Wolf Pack thing. Yeah. That was cool.
He got to go out
on his terms, and I thought it was awesome, man. The crowd, he got to give his speech, and I've told this story before, but when we had him for the show, could not have been more of a gentleman. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit, but leading up to the show, you're dealing with a couple levels of agents. It's like booking one of the Beatles. It's not, I'm not booking Dewey Donovan. I would have just thrown a couple of breadcrumbs out the window and he would have come running for him. But that's a Sting. Legit. Let me ask you, hey, Dewey, did you ever book Sting? I don't think so. But you book a guy like Sting, you have several conversations. Yeah, exactly.
Did you ask Dewey permission before you booked Sting?
No, I guess I should have. Dewey, should I have asked permission to book Sting? Maybe. Yeah,
huh. Maybe.
But, you go through all the agents and you go through all that, and then you finally get through, the red tape, and you meet the guy, and he got – I went and picked him up at the airport for the event and got in the truck. We exchanged pleasantries, talked for a few minutes, and I made one or two wrong turns coming out of Newark Airport, and this is total God's honest truth. He looked at me and said, hey, man, are we in the hood? And I was like, oh shit. I'm saying to myself, oh my God, I'm lost in Newark with Sting. I just said to him, nah, man, we're going the right way, man. There was construction. Meanwhile, it's like midnight. There's no construction. I think he knew I was like lost a ribbon. But within 3 minutes, we were at the hotel. I dropped him off. And the next day, he was so beyond accommodating. Like, I had my cousin Jimmy, who's like the number one Sting fan of the world, come in to meet him. And, my brother and my daughters, everybody else got pictures, and every person I would knock on the door and say, Sting, do you have a minute? Absolutely. He didn't turn down a single autograph or a photo. Tons of the police from Tom's River Police Department were there. They got the photos. Frankie Edgar and Todd Frazier were like starstruck. They came over. It was just so awesome, dude. Looking back, that I got to promote my brother's final match ever in the business in my hometown with the biggest crowd that our hometown or county has ever seen, with arguably one of the men on the Mount Rushmore pro wrestling. I can never beat that. So I don't know. For me, that night when I saw Sting in the ring holding the plaque and he was getting the award, and it was special for me, man. I was like,
and on his way out the door, he was on his way out the door to get in the car. And my uncle was right there, and we gotten there late, and he stopped with his bag, signed something, took a picture, and talked to my Uncle Joe for like a couple minutes before he got in the car. And we were just like, I mean, Joe, my Uncle Joe, and my Uncle Joe's like the biggest Sting fan in the world.
Awesome. It was, I'll give you another little tidbit. We had catering at the show. Johnny, remember on the table, we had the catering. Mm-hmm. I knocked on Sting's door and I said, Sting, I just want you to know, there's a lot of food out here. There's catering. Please help yourself. And he said to me, did all the boys, I want to make sure all the boys have some. I'll send out for food or something. It's no big deal. He didn't want to take any of the catering that was in the back, prepackaged meals and everything else, because he was afraid that it would short some of the boys that might not have a big payday or something to come get some, dude. And I had to beg him to take a couple of prepackaged meals with him to take back to the hotel. That's what kind of guy he was, bro. I mean, we worked with Eddie Guerrero, DDP, and Bigelow, and all these other names. But I'll tell you what, Sting was Mark Henry, of course, and Sting was right up there, man. One of my favorite experiences ever as a promoter.
Were you surprised they rappelled him from the rafters last week?
I was not, because I can guarantee, I don't think he came up with it. Somebody probably came up with it and then asked him if he wanted to do it. And he said, as long as I guarantee the conversation was, well, we're going to check with members of the Hart family first. And they're tight with Martha Hart. So I'm sure they asked and said, okay, cool. And then they did it. So I can't blame them for that.
Yeah, I understand. I agree. But wow, that surprised me, man. What a way to send him out, to have him do that entrance one more time. It had to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was awesome.
And it's a good thing they had that venue too. I don't think, like, how would that have even worked at Daly's place if this was 3 years ago? You know what I mean? They wouldn't.
I don't
have
think
been
you
would have
done it. Yeah, you would have just. Yeah. You have to do it in a place that's set up for something like that. I've never rappelled from a rooftop, but I don't think you could just do it from anywhere.
I don't think so either. We'll have to ask Joey Janela or Nick.
Ask
Mondo.
Dewey. He probably invented it. Dewey, did you invent rooftop rappelling?
Well, speaking of, your guy wrote on Instagram, Dewey needs to feel the T gimmick through a table, and Dewey probably created Sting too.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Do a glass table at this point.
Speaking of glass, how about Darby Allin, man, jumping off? Let me tell you, man, that, first of all, it looked like shatter glass to me, so it's not going to sliver, but that provides no get it. It's like it wasn't even there. He might as well just landed right on the ground. It does not break your fall like a table does.
Nope.
Bro, I don't get it.
Sting went through it in the corner, yeah.
He could have had
51 years old, bro. If I go like four steps up on a ladder to like change a light bulb now or do the Christmas lights, I'm petrified if I'm walking down the ladder that I'm going to miss a step and fall like 12 inches. That's no exaggeration. When I see these guys do that, I'm like,
yeah.
See, I would sell a ladder. If I was in a ladder match, I would sell it the other way. Like, I would sell constant fear of going up the ladder because it would be a shoot. No one's ever done that. Like, in a ladder match, you're afraid to go up the goddamn ladder. Halfway up, you freeze with fear and you can't come down. Like, I've always wanted somebody to do that in a ladder match. I always thought that would be a cool way to sell it, be afraid of the ladder. No one's ever afraid of it.
And then on top of that, like, in the ring to the outside on a ladder, which is obviously
it was
like
nuts.
So it's like that just adds even more height to it.
And he doesn't have all that much body mass to break that fall. That was literally bones bouncing off the floor. Like, it was just disturbing to watch. But, man, what a thrill. He had. I don't know, man. I know you're not supposed to do stuff like that in wrestling, but with a crowd like that on a pay-per-view and Sting's last match, I think I would have probably been like, what the hell? Let me jump.
Yeah, I was Flair got involved. Johnny, you got this one, Johnny. I'll sit here and watch. I'll take the hot tag, brother.
Introduce me after the lunacy, brother.
Yeah. Remember that when you got hit with the mud in the face? That's one of my favorite moments of all time. Trinidad and Tobago. Yeah, it was chicken.
It was a chicken. It was a chicken carcass. It hit me and then like on my face.
And me and Trent were holding each other laughing, dude. It was one of my favorite memories ever when you were so mad at us for laughing.
And you said I have a better chance of finding Bigfoot on this island than a good looking girl. And that's what brought the chicken at me. So yes, I was the collateral. I've been collateral damage, guys, too. So
sorry, brother.
You guys. Oh, Phil Stamper, Nate Stein. But then Dewey would come down and take credit for you jumping off the ladder. Yes, exactly. I used him as a human ladder, maybe he would say.
Did Dewey ever manage anyone else in CZW or anywhere else? I'm not familiar with his catalog.
The Briscoes, the Hate Club. And the Backseat Boys. We were his first. He was a referee, and he got fired when we beat the Haas brothers for the tag titles.
Oh,
he got fired for being a bad ref and being on the take and being the slime ball, and they fired him. So me and Trent grabbed him. It was kind of like what Powers of Pain did with Mr. Fuji and Demolition. Oh. We sort of grabbed him and was like, "Hey, we can make something out of you," and we made him like our Jimmy Hart. You know, the whole and everything. It was all us, you know, and then he turned.
So you created, wait a minute, you created Dewey.
He admitted that in his acceptance speech last year or 2 years ago at the Independent Hall of Fame, the one they're putting Trent in. on the 7th of April. Dewey's in.
Donovan's in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, because he was Nick Gage's manager.
Shit, I really must suck. All right, that's cool.
But anyway, one of the first people he thanked when he got up there was me. And I started crying. Oh. I actually had tears in my eyes sitting at Wife Beater's table with his family. I'm like crying because Dewey's thanking me. Little do I know, he's just setting it up to where he's going to put the friggin' knife.
That's what he's doing. That's quite what he the did, resume, bro. Man.
It's disgusting. I'm just mad that I didn't see all this. If I used to be paranoid as hell, and I went around saying, hey, when you're paranoid and you're right, you're sharp. And I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not paranoid anymore, and that's why this was able to get through my sensors and hit me, because I'm not looking for people to screw me.
If only there was somebody back in the day that constantly warned you about all the evils that could befall you, that evil land known as CZW, and said, follow me to the righteous path of Louisville, Kentucky.
I'll tell you, though, it made me who I am today, Donnie. Seriously, I got to tell these guys as a shoot. There were times I was in the CZW locker room and walked out of the locker room to call Donnie on my cell phone and be like, I'm walking the out of here right now. And Donnie, even though he hated me wrestling there, used to be like, dude, don't be unprofessional. You're better than that. And I turned around and went right the hell back in.
No, it all worked out for the best. Dewey created you guys. You know, I get it. That's cool. Thank him in your speech. Oh, look at that. I just got another alert. Hold on.
Dewey.
Can you guys Dewey see? Is... Look. Dodge coin. I just made more money, Dewey. Look at that.
Did you cut Dewey in on this action?
This is what I made today. I'll be honest. That's what I made today, Dewey, on Dodge Coin.
Yeah, I didn't even make you stick to your word about that gaming system. Now I might.
Oh yeah, yeah. What do I owe you for that? I forgot about that.
I don't. I covered it, bro.
Shiba Coin, Shiba Coin. That's the new one.
I took it out of Dewey Donovan's envelope at the end of the night. So you we're should. Good. Oh my god.
Dewey
goodness.
Is in the janitor's closet wing of the Hall of Fame. Someone's your boy says on Instagram.
The janitor's closet wing. So what about a segue? Now we gotta push that match, right?
I think Dewey Donovan has to be special guest referee in the broom closet match now.
Yeah, I think so too. Dewey Donovan. Here you go. But Pat Dynamite and Joe Clean. The cinematic exploding broom closet match will be coming April 7th. Get your tickets. That will be shown on the Tron in part two. There will be no actual explosions in the building, at least none that we know of. So, Donnie, I understand we have a new segment tonight. Now, 15 minutes.
We do.
Of fame, the 15 minutes of fame is a segment where we kind of expose
bash people. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, you expose them for thinking they're better than they are or that they're too good, whatever. So we came up with, or you came up with last week when you were talking to Rick Blade, and Rick Blade just texted and said he wants to tag with you, Donnie, by the way. He just texted me and told me that, so he's listening. Love you, Blade.
Carrying the team, yeah.
Come back in, Rick, so we can block you.
Rick, I hope you got your working boots on.
Yeah, so we want to do something nicer. So we came up with this, right? We came up with the light side of the ring.
Yes, light side of the ring, my friends. There's so much darkness out there. There's a goddamn show called Dark Side of the Ring. So when we were talking last week to Blade, I think it was me or him, somebody said something about this is the light side of the ring, the Rick Blade story. Just hearing about him and Shorty and the girls, a successful relationship and fatherhood. And so it like hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, this is the shit we should be celebrating in the business. Monumental stuff like this, or, you know, just the light side of the ring. So this is our debut episode of the light side of the ring. And I have a topic to bring to the table this week.
Are you ready for a picture?
I am.
Bada bing.
There he is. Our topic this week, the gentleman on my left, if you're looking at the photo with the dark hair, is Chris Chetty, Taz's cousin. The gentleman on the right is Danny Doring, Danny Morrison. Friends with both of them, ECW originals. And what's so cool about that picture is with all the guys who have from ECW have withered away or died or whatever, or, you know, tragedy has befallen them, all these sad tales right there. You have two good men, fathers, husbands, dads who are successful at life. They didn't succumb to gimmicks or debauchery. You know, they were from the old school, trained the right way, And especially seeing Chetty, man, he's back in shape. He looks great. He was at the show, and I didn't tell anybody, but when we did the show, Nova's last match, I had found Nova's original boots, his first pair of boots ever that he had made. And I brought them to the show, and I had Chetty be the one to hand him the boots at the end of the night to put into the ring. Those red boots with the green lightning bolt on it. And Chetty was misting up, man. He was getting teared up when I asked him to do it. And what was cool and weird that night, it was so funny to me to see this, but Chetty was walking around, and he didn't think anybody recognized him or knew him. And at one point, he was talking to me, and I remember him saying to Dan Moff, "I'm Chris Chetty. I was in ECW." And Dan Moff looked at him like he was from outer space. He's like, "Of course I know who you are. You're Chris Chetty." And it was so cool to see, like, some reverence towards Chris. He's worked super hard to get back in shape, and he got back in the ring the other night, and him and Danny won the tag belts at, I think it was Bull James's company. He's got a good little thing going there. I think that's his. But so cool, man, just to see two good family men, dads, strong male role models go out there healthy and have some fun. I'm happy for the boat, man. And big ups to Chris. Like I said, he got back in shape. He looks phenomenal. And none of us are on the, you know, on the south side of 25 anymore, man. We're getting up there. We're more than halfway done with our races in this life. But it's good to see those guys. Another light side of the ring story. Just some positivity. That's what I like to see, man. So when you see shows or stuff with these guys on it, support them because they're out there. Like guys like Devin. And shout out to Devin Storm. Like we said before, he's 50 years old today. He's still killing it. There's three examples right there. Danny, Chris, and Devin. Or his crowbar. all OG guys, man, from the 90s, bro. And they're all still killing it. I'm very happy for them all. And I hope Danny and Chris continue. And they keep having fun. And same with Devin. Happy birthday. And that's it, man. That's my life's light side of the ring this week.
Awesome.
Yeah, congrats. Happy birthday, new Devin. Outlaw Tag Team Champions.
Mm-hmm. You know, Donnie, I have a confession to make. We always keep track of who steals the Backseat Boys moves, you know, because we think it's funny, you know, to laugh at and stuff. I stole from Chetty and Nova. We stole the whip in the corner, monkey flip, land on the feet, double clothesline.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, man, did they do that wonderfully. Did you ever see him do it?
I thought Nova and Chetty were one of the best tag teams in ECW. And it killed. I mean, I saw a few house shows. I think it was the one in Asbury where they worked the Impact players. And I just said, I remember saying to myself a couple times, shit, man, even if they just dropped the belts to Nova and Chetty and win them back like next weekend, it would just be like unexpected and cool. I thought Nova and Chetty should have had at least one run with those tag team titles. I really do. I just, especially against Jace, Lance and Just Incredible. Impact players. They had some great matches, man. I think they should have done it, but whatever.
Nova and Chetty, like, when you go back and you look at those matches, like, we were actually talking with Logan DeVito not too long ago about this. Nova and Chetty really were, like, the glue of a lot of those matches, what would later go on to become the Scramble matches. And their work was just so ahead of its time, especially for tag teams. You know, the Bulldog Splash that they did off the top, just, you know, it was just... And the look that they had together, you know, Nova with the bodysuit and, you know, just Chetty with the bleach blonde hair and the fresh tan.
Completely,
you know,
different. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. Doring and Nova being, you know, two of the original House of Hardcore school graduates, it gave them some added legitimacy. So when you see guys, like you said, from the old school still going and doing the damn thing and doing it that, you know, many years later, it really is uplifting and inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bro. I used to love all those matches, the FBI, Logan DeVito, you have Big Sal out there, Danny, York and Matthews. Yeah, York and Matthews. But like what a sneaky architect in those matches was DeVito. Don't kid yourself. Mm-hmm. Him, Tracy Smothers, Nova. I guarantee I wasn't there in the back planning it with them, but I guarantee if you ask those guys, that's pretty much probably what happened. They gathered around Tracy, all come up with some input, and the DeVitos and Novas of the world and Chetty, like those guys all came up with a great game plan, man. And they were great. They were fun, dude. I like those matches. They were great.
Speaking of DeVito real quick, by the way, Backseat's already announced the first team going in the Silver Scramble Cell on April 7th, and it is DeVito and Loke, the Carnage crew, former Ring of Honor champions. And it's also going to be the last time DeVito wrestles in the Northeast ever. So talk about a long and storied career. But I just wanted to slip that in since you guys mentioned it real quick.
Mm-hmm. You know what? DeVito's one of those guys, man. Like, I don't know what he does in real life. I can't remember. Somebody told me, but I think he had like a real job and career and all that. But if I was running the PC, like WWE, I don't know, man. DeVito's one of those guys who I think I would bring in, like, just as like a, even if it's a fundamentals coach or to run basics, or he's got a hell of a mind and he's well respected. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me that you can't bring DeVito in. I don't even know he would do it, like one or two nights a week, or one or two days, or one or twice a month or something. But
definitely as a guest. I mean, they do guest coaching all the time.
Maybe they have asked. I have no idea. I never asked them. But yeah, dude, if I had any kind of company and DeVito was within my geographical location, like down in Florida, I think he's in Florida. I would 100% do that, dude. I was always a big DeVito guy, man. DeVito's one of those unsung heroes of ECW. Mm-hmm. You never really hear much about him. People don't put him over as much as they should. But those in the know, when they bring his name up, they go, oh, shit, yeah, man, DeVito could go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Funny you mentioned that, Donnie, too, because we have this. The DeVito and Bobby Fish teacher and student seminar coming up before our event. So in Mitchell's Firehouse from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, the 7th. So WrestleMania Sunday in New Jersey, in Burlington, 25-minute drive from Philly, right over the Bristol Bridge. You can learn from two of the best. I mean, Bobby Fish, come on, man, fresh off TV. Tony DeVito, the man. We just put him over for 15 minutes pretty much here, and we could do another 15 minutes and not repeat ourselves. I mean, the man.
You're a young wrestler on April 7th, or I don't give a shit, like where you are, and you don't go to that, you are a complete dipshit. Unless you're at like your own funeral or wedding or something. If you're a young indie guy and you're saying to yourself, this is WrestleMania weekend, what's the difference between me being booked and unbooked? It's the kind of stuff you can learn at that seminar. I could not process in my brain how that could not be completely sold out or like completely full ring that day with eager minds to learn from those two. If and you only picked $40. Up one, how much?
$40. That's it. They're basically making Christ. $20 each if they're lucky. Yeah.
That is nuts, Steel. Dude. Like, Steel. You know, they're doing it. Those two guys are probably doing it because they want to do it. They love doing it. So
exactly.
But yet these guys will have money to go buy the new goddamn iPhone. Or the new Final Fantasy 19 or whatever the shit it is comes out. They have money for all that stuff. But if you say, hey, man, $40 to go learn with Fish and DeVito. Oh, brother, I don't got the money. Bullshit. Invest in Dogecoin like I did. But I'm just saying. But that's what it is, man. You got to invest in yourself, dude. You want to be booked to the gills on a WrestleMania weekend?
Right.
Start investing in your own training a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say.
Speaking of book this weekend, you guys, you got an event coming up in Toronto, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, making a return back to Greektown. March 9th. It's going to be awesome.
Who's the guy in the middle? That's Sammy Callahan, isn't it?
That's Sammy on the
Sammy
top.
Sammy Callahan in the top middle. Yes.
Yeah, who's in the bottom? It looked like Davey. Looked like Kid Cash a little bit.
That's Bill Colley or Big Bill.
That's all right. Wait a minute. Who's the guy in the monkey hat? Monkey face.
That's the guy I wrestled. That's Space Monkey.
I thought so. And who's the giant leprechaun?
That's Puff.
Puff. He's not a leprechaun. Look, the hat's not really there. Look closely. The hat is CGI. He's not a leprechaun. Yeah, he's not really a leprechaun. They just dress him up for all the different holidays. He was Santa and Christmas.
Well, I'm being honest. I think the leprechaun would be an awesome. Like, I would roll with that if I was him. But,
hell yeah.
No, look, you know what? That poster was good, though. I just rattled off like three things about it that stood out. So
Here's another one. Cool, man. Just got announced for this for Assault Championship Wrestling. Jason Knight, Gary Wolf, and Mikey Whipwreck. They call themselves the ECW TV Champions against all three of us. And look at the picture they used of me, Donnie. I was 19 Brother, that, years old.
You look like the missing member of NSYNC. You look out of sight.
I do.
How is Johnny the youngest person on that poster?
I'm trying to think which of these photos in real life is the most unrealistic. I think Mikey really looks like that. That pretty much looks like a modern photo of Jason.
Right.
I don't know about Gary, maybe.
That's Gertner.
I haven't seen in a million years. Gertner could look like that. I doubt it.
No, Gertner doesn't look like that anymore.
All right, there you go.
Not as much. No.
Yeah, Johnny, I got to say you. I think yours is the most unrealistic. Yeah, yours is the one when people come up are going to go, wait a minute, are you the guy that's on the poster?
And what's funny is he hits me up.
Johnny were with us. Imagine if that version of you were like, oh my God.
Well, maybe in wrestling, in the wrestling calls world.
Well, wait a minute. When is that show? May. When is that your Jason show?
May 18th.
All Jersey. Right. So not to be an asshole, you have about 3 months to get your hair looking like that, pale it up a little bit. I mean, you could pull it off. You could honor the poster, the honesty of the poster, and pull it off. There you go.
That's called the stuck nostril flare I used to do.
It's DSL lips of yours.
That's messed up, Donnie.
Yeah, well, he's
not allowed to talk to me like that.
Oh my God.
Donnie's getting canceled. I'm pressing charges on that one.
But, it's boy, internet connection. That's all it means.
Yeah.
Our boy Wrestling Calls from Australia. He's already got 2K24 and he already made us and we already have the belts.
Oh my God.
So wow. It doesn't even come out in America till like tomorrow, but he already got it and he got.
What is what game is that?
2K24.
It's the new WWE video game.
The one that comes out like tomorrow. And let's notice that my moles are anatomically correct. It looks like I have four nipples.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's not a fourth
nipple.
It's
so crazy, bro. I just looked at that like for a second. I just said to myself, in some alternate reality, man, like that, you never know. That could have happened. Like, the Hardys won. You know what I mean? The Hardys won the tag belts in WWE.
When did Trent tag with Dan Jamundo, the Inferno Kid?
I thought that was Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, or Breaker Morant a little bit.
Or the CMLL version of Johnny Cashmere.
Looks like anyone but me. But check this out. JAS Custom Designs came out with new action figures. Look at this. They are custom of the back seats. That's me in the middle.
That
Tommy
is
on
awesome,
left,
man.
JP on the right. That's pretty cool, right? Are you ready, Donnie, for what gets me more excited? Here we go. Oh, the tattoo.
Oh, Batman tattoo.
They even put my tattoos on there.
We could put it. What? Did I never showed you guys this?
What? No?
Somebody made my buddy Rich, who makes custom figures, made a custom big 80s Donnie B figure. You've never seen this?
No.
Donnie, what the hell?
Look, it's me in my Miami Vice outfit with the shoes.
That's awesome. See? Whose face you think that is?
I forget who we used. I can't remember. It's not bad though, right?
Michael Caine.
Oh, that's on point.
No, it's not Caine.
See? Look how jacked I am. Yeah,
you are.
I had a microphone.
You were the jackedest member of the backseats when you were with us. That's for sure.
But
everyone,
I think that's what made. Yeah, that was the gimmick. Like I was jacked, but I still didn't like to get hit and work. Like,
right?
That's what made me and Ratchet work too. I was 10 times more jacked than him or anybody we worked.
Kept us too clean.
Chris Sherman, the ring announcer from 1CW, says new backseats crushing the game right now. He actually sent me a video from your match. He said it was really good. Let's see what else we got here. That light makes Johnny look a little pale. Well, you know, it happens. Can Johnny looks like a vampire on the poster? Yes, thank you. This is just show love to Johnny tonight. Yeah, show love to Johnny tonight. You're gonna find me hanging from a rope.
Thank you, Steve Jordan, a man of class.
Great, Johnny B. Awesome. So yeah, Donnie, you're over, brother. I think, and I'm gonna go out on a record right now and make a prediction. If you show up on April 7th. If you go out to the ring, by the time you go back through the curtain, the fans will have chanted, Donnie, Donnie, Donnie. I just feel it.
I think if Dewey starts in trouble. If I come, it's going to be incognito. Maybe I'll put a mask on and look like that Johnny that was on the poster. Maybe I'll get that mask.
He's going to get to the back, and he's going to see a whole bunch of GIFs all over from the X.
Yeah.
It's going to be like breaking the internet, Donnie B back in pro. Like, it's
talking. No, that's definitely, that's.
How do you top Rick Blade, guys? There's only one way to top Rick Blade being back.
No, it ain't me. Donnie B. Yeah.
Good old Donnie B. But let's real quick run down the card, just real quick. Yes. So reminder, Scorpio versus Homicide with Skills the Great for our title. Like, come on, man. Talk about a sellout at the curtain. Like, they might as well, we might as well clear out the front row for the locker room in this match, honestly. And then we got me versus Jordan, which you announced last week. Donnie, I want to tell you, by the way, Donnie, I have been doing 45 to an hour on the elliptical every day. I've been running again. I'm lifting heavier again. I'm sleeping more. I'm drinking more water. I'm having more protein. I'm doing as much as I possibly can to be ready for this match. So keep that in mind.
And you see Jordan's over all across the world right now.
I know. Exactly. Yep. This match is probably the furthest thing from his mind because he's
wrestled in my favorite place in the world. He was in Italy last week. I love Italy. I actually
I've never been there.
Partial owner of a vacation home in Italy. A lot of people don't know that. Now they do. But don't ask me to use it. But yeah, Jordan's over there. But he's killing it right now in Italy.
Yeah. He's staying at your house, right?
No.
He's over there while you're not there. And then the women are going in the cage. Christina Marie, who was in here earlier, and Rebecca J. Scott. Now, Rebecca Scott was grounded last show because she's a stewardess, flight attendant. And she, I know, I probably am going to get canceled for saying stewardess. In our day, it was only stewardess. So I apologize if stewardess is offensive. She is a flight attendant and she's phenomenal at it. And she was grounded in Orlando. So she's going to be here this time and they're going in the cage and it's going to be a lethal lockdown straight up. So these girls are going to kill it.
That's awesome. And the scramble cage and everything else you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. This, the whole day is going to be great, man. It really is. So.
It's going to start off at JB Bakery, a few blocks away from Mitchell Firehouse from 10 a.m. to 12. You're going to be able to see Live Danger along with Ziggy, the entire package, the extended Live Danger family. They're going to be there appearing live, and they're going to be with the Batman of Burlington. So they're all going to be there. At JB Bakery outside for a police fundraiser a few blocks. So make sure you check that out. Grab some cookies or whatever. Yeah. So good stuff.
Real quick, I want to give a shout out to Steve Scott. What's up, bro? Join live on Instagram. How you doing, bro?
And congratulations, Steve. Yeah. Right? Wasn't he just in?
He was in France and Italy.
Giving us the shout out with the Backseat Boys theme.
Why do I know that name? On your Too Hot Steve Scott. What do I know him from?
You know, he's been around forever.
He's trained by Jay Lethal.
Trained by Jay Lethal, worked Jersey All Pro back in the day.
Okay, yeah. Sounds familiar.
He's been game changer a couple times as well.
Yeah. Yes. Right. He was with his wife, right? They're married now, and he's over there. Honeymoon. And he sends us a video wherever they were. I don't know. They were an evening in Gay Paris somewhere. And you hear our music in the background, The Chase.
They were playing
in France. And really? He sent me that the other night. Yeah. I should have uploaded it. Damn it. Yeah.
It's in a restaurant. That's awesome. Just playing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Oh, Steve Jordan just got called for a fire. Yeah, man. Take care of yourself, brother. Jesus.
Take Dewey with you. Safe. The fire's active. Throw him in it.
Oh my goodness!
Did a lot of training and traveling though with Steve Scott when we first started. Actually,
that's cool.
Yeah,
great dude. Awesome. He's a good dude.
Great dude. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of training and traveling with him.
Remember, fans, you can get a ticket and T-shirt combo. PW T-shirt, an SPO T-shirt as well. And it's right there when you buy your tickets. So just choose the combo. They're going pretty fast. I'm not sure if there's any ringside left, but there's definitely some general admission. But the building is not big, and it is in demand. It's WrestleMania weekend. We don't know what's going to happen. The outdoor part one is free, but part two, get your tickets so you're not literally locked out of the building. That would be a horrible feeling to not be able to get in, you know, you and your kids when everyone else is going in. So you definitely want
to
be there.
To that seminar too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the seminar. Right. Exactly. So
been fun, boys.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Batman will be there. Batman will be at the outdoor section. We already said that.
Sweet.
Yep. And we do have 10 ringside left. Mitch is just telling us. So there are a few ringside guys. So grab the ringsides. Yeah, grab those. All right. Good stuff. Anything else, guys? Yeah, I think we're good. What do you got planned?
I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you guys. You're killing it. Everything is positive, all kinds of positive energy your way. You just need to get rid of Discount Dewey Donovan. That's the only negative I see in your company right now.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? He created the Backseat Boys, man. What
he created Spo Wrestling, too, probably.
He did. Well, he invented wrestling, period. You're going to go back, and it's like, you know, you see guys, pro wrestling, and it's like created by Discount Dewey
versus
Donovan.
Gotch.
For you listening and watching, comment. What do you think we need to do to get rid of Dewey Donovan? Comment below tell us what you think we should do, and next Spocast, we'll figure it out. We'll narrow.
What should we do about the do?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they do? Well, yeah, Donnie, thanks for your input tonight. Thank you, guys. This was fun. Rob, we love you, brother, and hopefully
love
Rob
you,
will
brother.
Be back next. Hopefully, he'll be back next week.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers for Rob, his friends and family, and everyone up in the upstate world that is feeling the devastating loss of one of their brothers right now. God bless all of you. So thank you guys for watching. Any last words, back seats?
I think we're all set, man.
That's it. Yeah. Until then, catch us on the next Spocast.